Morning, can you hear me? I now know why Pastor Laura wore a belt with her cute dresses. It's to hang the mic on. I am Dee Sue Song, and a few times Pastor JJ said, Dee, why don't you talk in church? And I said, no way. But eventually God said, yes way, and so here I am. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for the rain. Please allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in your sight. Amen. On a recent Sunday morning, my husband Dan and I rose before dawn to walk our dogs in the cool and quiet. Expecting a moonlit fall morning, we stepped into darkness, exacerbated by a couple of dark street lights. Ever prepared, Dan pulled his flashlight out to guide our way, but he was confused by the missing moon. After all, it was full the previous week, and there was no cloud cover blocking the stars. Halfway through our route, I could see more details of the mostly dark houses, see the different levels of a sidewalk buckling due to tree roots, and even see more of the branches that created a canopy above us. Of course, it was the moon breaking through the darkness, there the whole time, just hidden behind a cloud we couldn't discern in the dark sky. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. For me, the moon is a bit like God's love and grace, always there, but not always visible to me, usually because of clouds that I create or walls that I build. The season after my dad died of lung cancer when I was 28 and my youngest brother was only 15 was one of those times. As many of you know, I love to read and write poetry, and this is a poem that I wrote reflecting back on that time in my life. It's titled Never 51, and there's a quote from a Brazilian poet, Adelia Prado, that says, when my father died, I was never again consoled. Eyes welling, my thoughts curve to you, when a young girl loses her mom to cancer. Your upturned collar, airport runs, living room putting green. One Easter, we took turns carrying the youngest on our shoulders, steep trail to the window in Chisos Basin, desert panorama. Feeling small in this vast world, we drank it in. Now, three of us have passed a family milestone, celebrated our 51st birthdays, unlike you. The youngest will soon, pine needles, gravestone, golf ball. The steeple out your hospital window never brought me comfort. Instead, darkness enveloped me, drilled an empty hole deep inside. I dumped my faith in the nearest well. No one could hold my sadness, not even God. About 9 months after Daddy passed, I visited Northwest Hills. Where's Ray? Oh, there he is. Okay, my teaching partner, Jenny Jackson, invited me to hear the new pastor, Ray Kaiser. This building didn't even exist yet. I will never forget being greeted by John Robertson at the door and being welcomed by Jane Poston after the service. Later, they would be my teachers in a multi-week basic Christianity class. John would share his testimony, give bear hugs, and become the father figure that I needed most. Jane would invite me into the handbell choir. Music, especially handbells, continues to bring me great joy. In their able hands, my anger thawed, and God opened my heart again to what she had in store for me. She'd been with me all along, waiting for me to let her back in. I was raised in the church, and Northwest Hills felt like coming home. In the story of Ruth, 12 moments in every woman's life, Joan D. Chittiser writes, it is indeed the crossroads of the soul. God stands in the dark of it, waiting for me to become the rest of me. Naomi and her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, stood at a crossroads in Moab. 10 years before Naomi's husband died, soon after they immigrated, Naomi's sons married local women, and she was a vital part of their household. But then the sons passed away too. And all three women were widows, not an advantageous position in biblical times. Naomi decided to return to her home in Bethlehem. Orpah returned to her mother and family, but Ruth stayed with Naomi, an exercise in faith. Once I joined this family, God went right to work. She worked through angels in my midst to recreate me. Believe me, it's an ongoing process with more steps backward than forward. Before I knew it, I was on a mission trip to Missouri to provide flood relief with Kathy Troutner, Bill Kane, Greg Judd, Larry Biggert, and others. Kathy and I bonded, both of us having recently lost our fathers, both of us being daddy's girls. On that trip, I learned to hang sheetrock, to listen to the stories of the homeowners, to revel in their survival, and to walk carefully on a second-story roof. I did not fall off. It was hard to fathom these good people up to their waists in water filled with chemicals, soaking their homes, obliterating their keepsakes, endangering their lives and their livelihood. We gather here each week, invite the Holy Spirit to fill us. Last week, after the Houston Tillotson concert choir sang, I immediately thought of this Ann Weems poem from Kneeling in Jerusalem. To worship. When the people of God gather for worship, the whole earth trembles, and the angels sing. That's so short, I'm going to read it again. To worship. When the people of God gather for worship, the whole earth trembles, and the angels sing. Each week after the trembling, we are sent out as imperfect people into an imperfect world, but the angels are behind us. The Spirit is in us, and God prepares us. The community of Bethlehem, Naomi's homeland, welcomed Ruth, a Moabite widow. Despite her being a foreigner, her life was recreated because she stayed by Naomi's side. She had faith enough to leave her homeland, leave her comfort zone, and build a new life. Chittister describes it saying, creation goes on creating in us. You may or may not know that your church, I should say our church, budgets $5,000 of your generous tithing towards missions. You may or may not know that a group of people meet the first Tuesday of every month to plan outreach in Austin and beyond. Thanks to Rachel, Dennis, Margene, Cindy, Jackie, Daniel, Elizabeth, Bruce, Sue, Tyler, and JJ for taking the time to pray and plan God's work. Our work, to provide the chance to build relationships, to stand beside those in need and collaborate with them to improve their circumstances, and perhaps even bring some into our fold. Chittister reminds us we have gifts of God in abundance, never noticed, never touched, perhaps, but a breath in us nevertheless waiting to be tapped. Tapped to be the hands and feet of Christ. Earlier in October, a small group built a ramp for the Martinez family under Jackie Gardner's leadership. It is simple. People with mobility issues can be trapped inside their homes, unable even to find refuge in their backyards. Thanks to the Texas Ramp Project, many have been free to leave their homes and live their lives. I personally learned how to use a power saw and how to use a driver going the right direction most of the time. I am not a natural carpenter, but have benefited from much on-the-job training. I should say repetitive on-the-job training. Yesterday, a small group joined the efforts at Open Door Ministry at University UMC on Guadalupe to make and serve lunch to those who are experiencing food insecurity. Imagine not having breakfast or lunch or dinner. Fortunately, our neighbors can come every Saturday morning to the courtyard to eat quesadillas, visit, and drink coffee. Imagine needing basic necessities like underwear or shoes. Volunteers in the Fig Leaf store fill requests for backpacks, jeans, blankets, and much more. And Heather already mentioned this, but I'm going to say it again. Yesterday, kindergartner Cormac and second grader Stanley served as runners between the store and the courtyard while their mom, Elizabeth, took orders. Each Saturday, volunteers are blessed with the opportunity to serve as Jesus would have us do. Each coffee, each quesadilla, each pair of jeans, each conversation, each smile, each connection, each hand outstretched to a new friend. This is a photo from a supper club at Balcones Terrace, the foundation community's residence closest to Northwest Hills. A hotel converted into furnished efficiency apartments, it was developed to provide housing to single adults in need, many of whom are formerly unhoused. Residents pay below market rents with utilities included. There is support staff available 24/7, and the bus stop is close by. Residents are set up to succeed. About every other month, we serve our neighbors a home-cooked meal, although last month, thanks to Stacy Kaiser, we served them barbecue. And then after dinner, we play bingo with prizes like coffee, household cleaners, home decorations, and toilet paper. Our next supper club is November 8th, like Lorene said, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Resident leader Kelvin will be there to greet us with a smile, help us carry in supplies, and remind folks to make their way to dinner and bingo. Each September, Lorene Phillips leads us in a Rise Against Hunger. That is such a cool photo. I don't know who took that. Leads us in the Rise Against Hunger meal packing event, carrying on the tradition that the Carmagnolias began. On September 28th, many of you were among the 303 volunteers who packed 30,024 meals. Thanks to your generous funding of this project, the total collected was $14,543. Praise God. The rice meals you packed will ensure that at-risk children, youth, and their families associated with Salesian missions in El Salvador receive proper nutrition and a balanced diet. I can still feel the energy of our common task as we work to the soundtrack that Pastor JJ created for us. I can still hear the gong every time 1,000 more meals were packed. It was a lot louder. How is God continuing to call you? Close your eyes for a moment and listen. Maybe God has put a project or a cause on your heart that you'd like to lead Northwest Hills to support, like Cindy Stone did with the Moscow Seminary that trains future pastors, or like Charlie Sauer did with the Rainbow Network that empowers rural communities in Nicaragua, or like Margene Rutt did with Drive a Senior that helps get seniors to doctor's appointments or grocery store or the grocery store. Or like Bobby Callison did with the United Methodist Men's Clothes Closet that provides essentials to neighbors every Thursday morning at First UMC downtown. Or like Bonnie Moyer and Kim Hoffman did with the Pillowcase Ministry that provides colorful pillowcases to kids at Dell Children's Hospital, a ray of sunshine during a dark time. Or maybe you want to put one of the upcoming mission events on your personal or family calendar. They are listed on the yellow prayer insert on the flip side. And there's even a QR code down at the bottom to sign up. I am so grateful for your generous giving of your time, your talents, your gifts, and your services. Thank you and amen.